Father, we just love you. We ask you to quicken your word, bring life into your word, quicken us, God, according to your word, that our spirits might be alive to hear what's in your word today. Breathe on your word, Lord. Breathe on us in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to talk about the word of God today. I'm really excited. I just am so excited. I actually get to bring a message that I just got. Some of them I hold for so long, you know, win God, but this one, I just got it. In John 1, everybody turn to John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Would you read 1 through 18?
John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
We're going to talk about Jesus being the Word of God. For some, that's a hard concept to say, well, how can a person be the Word? But the Word of God is not like our Word. It's different than our Word. See, the Word of God is living. God is so powerful that even the words that he speaks are alive. They're not like our words. Sometimes we tell words that are not completely true. Sometimes we say words that are full of pride. We may say words that are full of judgment. And we may say some words that are true. Now, the Bible does say that we shall give account for every word that we speak because God has put a limited amount of power, even in our words. The power of life and death are in the tongue. So even the words that we speak could cause someone death. They could cause someone life. When we speak words of love and encouragement and healing, we can restore life in people. Our words are powerful. When we speak words that injure people, wound their spirit, we could cause death in them. They can take on belief systems that lead to their death, or we can cause them to sin, which brings an earlier death. So there is a limited amount of power in our words. There is some power in our words. Every word will be judged. We will answer for every word we speak. But God's words, they're different than our words, because God is many things. And all the things that God is are in unity. They come together. So we're going to talk about how Jesus God born in the flesh. Now, first of all, you do have to believe that Jesus is God. He and Father are the same. It says that he was in the beginning, that he created the world. He came among us, and people didn't recognize him. So God, the Father, and God, Jesus, are the same. They're in unity. The three are one. Father, Holy Spirit, and Jesus, three in one. That's the sign language deaf use for the Trinity. Three in one. Sometimes the Bible refers to Jesus as Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, because he had a body like us. It refers to him as light, as life, as truth. We're going to look at some of the things that God says about Jesus Christ in the flesh in comparison to what he says about his spoken word, to see that Jesus and the Word are the same. There is a study about logos word and rhema word, and we will get in. We're not going to go look those words up and do the study. Logos word usually speaks to like the written word or spoken word. Rhema speaks to the word when it comes to life, when it's just jumping and alive. So we're not going to look at that because there's really no difference when it comes to words that God speaks.
Right.
Every word that God speaks is alive.
Right.
If it doesn't jump alive like a rhema word to you, it's because you're not alive.
Right.
So we're going to get into that too. But there's some things about the written word or spoken word that we're going to compare with what the Bible says about Jesus. Number one, the word tells us that Jesus is truth. John 8, let's turn over a few chapters there to John 8, verse 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is something that can set us free. Look at John 14 in verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So Jesus says here, I am the truth, the way, and the life. In Psalm 119, you're going to be going there a lot. You might as well stick a little marker there because we're going to be going back and forth, but we're going to go back to Psalm 119 many, many, many times. Psalm 119 is one of the first chapters I attempted to memorize when Harvey and I got married, which is 176 verses long. So that's quite a challenge. I never did get all the way to the end, but I think I got around 80 or 90, and my brain was just blown at 90. I couldn't get it all, but it's all about his word. 119 is just full of things about the word of God. And 119, 160 says, thy word is true. From the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. So Jesus says, I am the truth. And then in 119, it says, thy word is true. So they are both referred to as truth. Acts 24:14. Back in the New Testament, Acts 24. Verse 14. But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Paul said, I believe everything that is written in the law and the prophets. That means the Bible, the scriptures. I believe every single thing that is written in the Word of God. Amen. All of it. I can't pick and choose. Well, this sounds true, but that over there, you know, I'm not sure. Maybe the translators messed that one up. God has preserved his word.
Amen.
We believe every single scripture that is written.
Amen.
Second thing that the word written and spoken and Jesus embodied in flesh or in spirit is light. In John 8:12, John 8, verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 1, 4. I'm going to give you verses if you're writing them down. We're not going to look up every verse about Jesus being light, but I'm going to give you some references if you want to follow that thought. John 1, 4 through 9. John 3, 19 and 20. John 5, 35. John 9, verse 5. John 12. Let's just go to John 12 because there's several of them there. Book of John, verse 12, chapter 12. Look first at verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knows not where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you might be the children of the light. These things spoke Jesus and departed and hid himself from them. Look at verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. So, there's also, let's see, 46. Yep, that's all of them in John. Now in the Word, back to Psalm 119. In verse 105, says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God is also a light to guide us. Jesus said that he's the life. Jesus in John chapter 1. If you guys are getting a good Bible drill today, just back and forth. John chapter 1 in verse 4. In him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. Look at John 5. Turn over to chapter 5. I'm really giving you a lot of scripture because I want to prove to you that Jesus is the Word of God.
Amen.
The very spoken word of God, the written word of God, the living word of God, word, whether it was spoken right now by the Spirit, whether it was written down in print, or embodied in the body Christ chose to live in, it's all the word of God.
Amen.
God created the whole world just by speaking his words. God said, let there be, and there was. That's the power of his word.
Amen.
So in John chapter 1, verse 4, now we're in John 5, 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. Look at John 6, check one more chapter over, John chapter 6, verse 48. Jesus says in 48, I am the bread of life. If we go on down to 51, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. You know, we're going to learn later about Jesus saying, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's a confusing thing. Many people went away and quit following Jesus when he said that. But what he was saying is, eat my life. Everything he brought during his life in the flesh. Everything. Jesus is life. We consume Jesus. We partake of Jesus. We live by the bread. Our daily living by taking in Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the power of what he did on the cross, the forgiveness, the paying for all of our sins, the ability to forgive one another. So Jesus is life, and he is our life. In John 11. Again, Jesus says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Though he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believe in me, he shall never die. Believest thou this? Now that was a complicated one. We're going to preach it another time. We already have eternal life. And if we could just live completely in Jesus, we wouldn't die. Unfortunately, we keep going out and feeding on the devil's ways too and shortening our life. But Jesus is life. He is our very life. John 14, 6. Again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now let's see how the Word is life. This is my favorite part about the Word of God, is that it is alive. This is the proof that Jesus is the Word. Because our words, if I were to write down some words and hand them to you, they're just words. They don't have embodiment of life in those words. But God's words are alive. They're alive because they are God. Everything of God is alive. So in John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you are Spirit and they are life. What Spirit are they?
Holy Spirit.
They are God's Spirit. That means they are God. God is a Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in Spirit. And in truth, he said, the words I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. So when God spoke the words to be written, his words, they are Spirit words. They are life words.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 14. No, I did that wrong. I got to go back. Mess that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. So far, I haven't got any addresses wrong yet today. I should knock on wood with that, right? But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the things of God, everything that is of God, would be foolish to a man who's not spiritual. So some people read the Bible and they go, they don't look alive to me. I don't know what they're talking about. They're just words. I read it and I get nothing out of it. But we cannot discern what's in the Spirit unless the Spirit of God puts life in us. Hebrews 4:12. I've heard arguments that say the Word of God is not alive unless the Spirit comes and quickens it. The word quicken in the Bible does not mean run fast, do this as fast as you can. The word quicken in the Bible means to give life to something. So I've heard some people say the words themselves are not alive. They're only alive when the Spirit of God quickens them and brings life to them. Sometimes we feel like that's true because we're reading and it does not seem alive. And then other times the very same words do come alive. So we're saying the words are not alive unless the Spirit comes. But that is not true. The words of God are always alive.
That's right.
We're not.
That's right.
Now in Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So the word of God is alive. It is powerful.
Amen.
Now there are times we're not alive. We read it, our spirit is not quickened, and we don't get anything out of it. But the proof that the word itself is always alive, if you stop reading the word, your thoughts begin to change. The spirit in you begins to fade. You go back to worldly thinking, temptations and sinful things and feelings. If you read the word every day for two straight weeks, even if you don't think you got anything out of it, your thoughts will begin to change.
That's right.
Because it is alive, it goes down into your spirit where your brain doesn't work, where your emotions don't matter, and it speaks to your spirit. And you will begin to think different.
Yes.
Eventually, you will feel different.
Yes.
And eventually, you will do different.
That's right.
Because your spirit has been in communication with the living word
Amen.
Of God. Now, I was out door knocking one time. We used to go door knock. We call it door knocking. It means we went and knocked on every door in the neighborhood and said, "Do you know Jesus? Would you like to know Jesus?" We call that soul winning, door knocking. One man said, "I don't believe God is real." And I said, "Well, do you have a Bible?" "Yeah, but I don't know if I believe that's real." And I said, "Well, if God is real, would you want to know him? Would you want to know that?" "Yeah." And I said, "Okay, I want you to take this Bible and I want you to start reading in the book of John and saying, 'God, if you are real, show me. Show me that you're real.'" And I said, "You read, I don't know, I think it was two or three chapters a day in the book of John, every day for 2 weeks. Nobody will talk to you about God. No one's going to call on you. Just the word of God. It's going to prove the word is real, and it's going to prove God is real if you really want to know." I went back 2 weeks later. The man opened the door and said, "Not only is he real, but I met him." He got saved without any person telling him how. He met Jesus only because the word of God was wakened in him every day until he saw God and he met God. The word of God is alive, not us. It's always alive, whether you're getting anything out of it or not. If you read it every day, it will keep your spirit alive. It will change your life. When I got saved, I had a lot of bad habits and zero discipline. I pretty well thought, if it's too hard, I just can't do it. That's the end of it. If I am supposed to change things I can't change, and God doesn't just come and do it, then I just can't do it. I had all kinds of things in me, and it made me leave the church and be discouraged because my life didn't change. But when I really decided to come back and give my life to God, I said, "God, you know there's things like I can't quit smoking. I can't discipline myself to do all the things you want. But what I can do, God, is read your word every day. I can go to the church every time it's open, and I can read your word. And I can talk to you. I mean, you know, you might not like what I say every time I talk to you, but I can pray." And I did just that. And it was a very short time before reading the word of God changed my whole way I thought. And I began to be able to do the things I couldn't do.
Right.
Because God did them in me through his
right.
word. My belief system changed. My thinking changed. My whole life changed because of the word of God. It is alive. It is quick and powerful. Jeremiah 17:10. Remember that we saw that the word is quick and that it divides asunder your heart and your spirit. It divides everything apart and it works in your heart. Now in Jeremiah 17:10, God said, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways." Now it also said that the word discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. God says, "I am the one that comes and searches your heart." In Hebrews it says, the word searches your heart, knows the intentions of your heart. The comparison, the word. and the literal Spirit of God are the same. 2 Timothy 3. Starting in verse 13 through 17. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue you in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or matured, thoroughly furnished unto every good work, unto all good works. The word of God was inspired. Yes, it was written by prophets, but those prophets were inspired by God. That doesn't mean, you know, when we say I'm inspired, like I got a great idea, I'm going to go write a book, and it might be a good book. But this word inspired means God actually breathed his words. He spoke these words. He had to. For the spoken word of God is the power of God. The spoken word of God created everything. The spoken word of God contains the Spirit of God. So when he inspired these men, he breathed. He spoke his very word for them to write. So though they wrote it, the pen was in their hand, but it was the spoken word of God that they wrote. It was not their own interpretation of his word. Well, God told me, I think, you know, and this is where we get messed up. Yes, the Spirit of God, the very Spirit of the Holy Spirit, he's still teaching us. He's still speaking to us. But sometimes in our imagination, we confuse spirits. And I've heard people say, God told me this. And then a month later say, I thought God told me that, but I was wrong. Because we can think wrong. We can imagine things. And sometimes we twist exactly what the Holy Spirit does say. When my sister was dying with cancer, God said, she will live. And then she died. So I thought, well, either that wasn't God talking to me, or I misunderstood something. But later as I prayed, I realized my sister had eternal life. She will resurrect. She will live in heaven. She was not going to die the death of eternity that goes to hell away from God. So he didn't mean she was going to not die of cancer that day. He meant she's going to live eternally. So sometimes we just don't understand what God said. We add to it, we change it, we misunderstand it. And then when it doesn't happen, it's not because God didn't tell us the truth. But sometimes we actually hear lying spirits, deceiving spirits, based on our emotion, our belief systems. So yes, the Spirit of God, of course, is as trustworthy as the written word. But God had the written word written because we can't always be trusted to know we're hearing the Spirit. So this word has to be our basis of all truth. It has to be our basis, our foundation, to be sure. If what we think we hear doesn't agree with this written word, then we have to put that away.
Amen.
So the Bible is just like our lifeline. It's our lifeline to God. That's why he gave it to us. Psalm 119. We're going to talk now about what comes alive when you read the word. You know, I have read certain portions of Scripture, got nothing out of it. And then I go read it another time, and it's like, God just opened a great mystery to me, and I understand it all. It's just powerful and awesome. And what happened? Did he just quicken the Word? No. He just quickened me to his Word. His Word was already alive. I'm the one that wasn't so alive. So let's go to Psalm 119 again. No, that's just not over there. I closed my whole Bible that time. Back in Psalm 119. If you want to assure yourself of all these wonderful truths of the Word, just read 119.
One chapter.
One chapter, just 119. Right. Verse 25. My soul cleaves unto the dust. quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Made me alive. You brought me to spiritual life. Look at verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them you have quickened me. Precepts meaning ideas, teachings, his words. Look at verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word, by using your word. We're the ones that come alive. The word's always alive. 156. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Look at Job. Turn to the book of Job, which is just before Psalms, one book back. Chapter 32, verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. See, there is a spirit in us. It's just not always quickened into God's spirit. So God gives us understanding, but it is our spirit that needs the quickening, not God's word. It's been alive since the day he spoke it and breathed it. The Bible is the word, the living word, spoken by the mouth of God. It is the word of God in print, alive and powerful. Our God is holy. In Psalm 99, we're going to compare the holiness of God to prove that the word is God and show you that it is holy, just like our God. Psalm 99. I missed that one verse. The word spoken to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Before I leave that subject, Hebrews 4:2, they were preaching to the people, and it said, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Some of the people that day, the word came alive and they got saved. Other people had no faith, and the word preached didn't profit them at all. That's the same with the written word. It cannot profit you unless God quickens you. And God will quicken you if you want to be quickened. If you want to become alive to God, he will do that in you. But the word was already alive. They spoke the same word that day. Some heard it in power. Some did not. But the word came in power. The difference was in the people. Okay, our holy God, Psalm 99. It's okay. I gave the reference. Harvey wanted me to repeat that if you want to know God, he will wake your spirit up to know him. He said, if you seek me, you will find me. So if you want to know God and come alive to God, he will wake your spirit up to himself. Psalm 99:5, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Back to Psalm 119. In verse 140. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loves it. Holiness means purity, complete pureness. Romans 1:2. He's referring about the gospel. He said, which God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the holy scriptures. Many times God refers to the Bible as holy scriptures. Why would he call those words holy if they were full of mistakes? To be holy means to be pure, completely without any mistake, completely without any error or sin. Amen. So because the scriptures holy then and pure, they are without mistake, without sin. Nothing is wrong in them. They are pure, completely trustworthy. There are no mistakes. Revelation. Wait a minute. I think there was something in verse 9 there too. No. I guess not. Okay, Revelation 15. Verse 4. Who shall not fear thee, O God, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For you only are holy. For all the nations shall come and worship before thee, for your judgments are made manifest. You only are holy. And he calls the scriptures holy because they are God. Romans 1:2 is just another reference to the scriptures being holy. Yeah, and 2 Timothy 3:15, same one we read, the scriptures are holy. The word of God is equal to the person of God because it is the person of God. When we talk about the Trinity, when we go to 1 John and it says there are three in heaven, and these three are one. They agree in one. And they could have printed the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But they said the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I believe the reason that they chose to say Word in that instance was so that we would realize every word of God is pure, holy, powerful, even when it's written in print. Now, you could say there are some words that could have been more appropriate to our day. Some people want to use other versions and say, all we're doing is making the language easier for you. If that were true, that would be wonderful. I hoped that was true when they came out with New King James. I hoped all they were going to do was get rid of thou and thee and put in you. I hope they were going to get rid of shouldest and just say should. You know, I hoped they were only going to use modern English, but they didn't. Immediately, the first time I tried to read it, God took me to a verse where they changed the meaning. Yep. King James wasn't written until 1611. Were their Bibles equally pure before that? Of course there were. He didn't wait 1600 years to give us his word in the English language. There was the Geneva Bible. There were others. I don't know all the names. But there were others. And what they did with King James and others, you know, back in those days, they did try to only change the language to match the civilization they were speaking to, the social world that they were in. But today it isn't so. Today they've taken so many versions, and you check them, and the meanings are changing.
That's right.
The meanings are changing. There are words that people will argue are wrong in King James, such as God wants us to have a be careful about our conversation. The word conversation back in 1611 didn't mean the words you're talking only, meant your entire lifestyle.
Right.
Without having a different version, my whole 40-some years has been King James, God showed me when I said, what do you mean by my conversation? You mean all my words that I speak? And he said, look at that word in Greek. And it showed me that it meant lifestyle. Could we change the King James to say lifestyle? Yes, we could. We could change a word here and there. We could change a thou to you, and we haven't hurt the word of God. What God has preserved is his message. He's preserved exactly the message that he wants us to get when we read his word. You must be careful when you go looking at other versions that they don't change the message. The intent of what God said
exactly.
In his word. That's what's preserved. That's what's preserved. So we don't argue over a word here and there. We protect over a meaning and a purpose. And over the power of God. If it is His, then it's quickened, it's alive. Now, some of the newer versions have some verses that are exactly what God was trying to say. Those verses would be alive. They are what He said. You could take a scripture out of the Word of God and print it in a newspaper and it will be alive because it's what He said. But we need to be careful about which version we choose to read, that the meaning or the power is not lost. I choose the Word of God. I choose to believe that Jesus was the Word. Jesus was and is the Word. Jesus is not flesh. He used a fleshly body and it died and went in a grave and it's gone and He got a glorified body. But the Spirit of God that spoke the Word, that wrote the Word, and that inhabited that body, it's all God. See, God is a Spirit and He can travel through a body. He can travel through a word. He is everything He speaks. It is all Him. I choose to trust the Word, hope in the Word, love the Word. Go back to Psalm 119. I want to just run through some other good things there because that is such an awesome, awesome chapter on the Word. See what His Word can do for us. In verse 30, of Psalm 119. I have chosen the way of truth. Now, how did David choose the way of truth? Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when you shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law. I will observe it with my whole heart. Make me go in the path of thy commandments, for therein I do delight. All these are about the Word of God. I choose it. I trust it. I believe it. Let it bring me into truth. 38, establish your word unto your servant who's devoted to your fear. 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. We are to choose God. We are to trust in God. We are to trust in His Word because it is God. Amen. 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. We are to love His Word. Again in 77, let thy tender mercies come into me that I may live, for your law is my delight. His Word is my delight. 162 confirms that again. Oh, darn. No, I'm getting there. You're not on the mic, and I want it on the mic. I just accidentally hit the wrong thing and went to the whole wrong chapter, so. 162, way near the end down here. I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great spoil. Verse 72. Now here's the difference in worshiping the word and praising the word. In verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of silver and gold. We praise the Word of God. David said, I praise your Word. It is good to praise the Word of God. We do not take a Bible, set it up here, and say, come praise the Bible. Come worship the Bible. We don't worship leather. We don't worship paper. But we do worship God. And we praise His Word. To worship is to bow down before and worship. But to praise is more of to clap and say, this is good. This is wonderful. When we're in praise, we're saying, praise you, God. You are so good. Can you say, praise your Word. It is so good. Yes. We can praise the Word of God. Do we worship it? Do we fall down on the ground in front of a Bible? No. We fall down in front of the very person of God and worship Him. We praise every word that He speaks. Amen. We worship Him. There is a slight difference. 93. verse 93 of Psalm 119. I will never forget your precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. We memorize the word of God. So we hide it in our heart that we might not sin against him. We memorize it so we can carry it everywhere we go. 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. We think about the word of God all day, and it keeps us alive, and it keeps us safe and in truth.
Right.
152. Concerning your testimonies. I hate to do that in a microphone. I have known of old that you have founded them forever. God has founded and preserved his word forever.
Amen.
No matter what people try to do, God's word will be preserved. Let's go back in the New Testament for a minute in Acts 24:14. But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I, the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Some may say we worship God himself, but the Bible, maybe it's full of mistakes and I can't fully trust it or believe it. No, I say that I worship God, and I have chosen to believe all the things that are written in the Word of God, all the prophecies, all the words that are written in my Bible. I've chosen to believe those.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 14. This is about worshiping. 25, verse 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made known, made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. When the secrets of our heart are made known, I'm showing you that worship means to fall down on your face, worshiping, submitting yourself to God himself. We don't put the Bible up here and fall down on our face to it, because the Bible itself is paper and leather. But the words that are in the Bible, those are God.
Amen.
Revelation. Last book in your Bible. Chapter 22. In verse 9. There's a warning. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. This was an angel speaking to John. And John wanted to fall down on his face and worship the angel. And the angel said, no, do not do it. You only worship God. Isaiah, verse 5.
Isaiah what?
Isaiah 5.
You said verse 5.
I meant chapter 5. A couple books after Proverbs. Chapter 5, verse 24. Give you lots of time on this one because I'm getting there slowly. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. Why? Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. The word despised says that they have blasphemed it. They have scorned it. They have interchanged it. They have provoked it to change the word of God, to exchange it for something else, to pervert it, to rewrite it, and to make it say something different than it said. All of those things bring the wrath of God on a person.
Amen.
There is a great warning about that. the book of Revelation again. This is our last area to go to. Revelation 19, starting in 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head was many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. We're talking about Jesus. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Harvey wants me to read through 16. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in white linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads on the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When Jesus comes back, he is called the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's called the Lamb of God, and he is called the Word of God. So Jesus is the Word. When we have raised our kids since we've been in church, we have taught them that the Bible is a holy, it says holy Bible right on the cover. It's holy. It's not to be thrown in a pile with other books. It's not to be laid on a floor. It's not to be sat on, stood on, just splashing dirty dishwater on. It is to be honored as the holy scriptures of God, loved, reverenced, respected, kept clean. Teach your children not to wrinkle pages, not to tear pages. I have one wrinkled page in one Bible, one terribly wrinkled page in an older Bible, and it was put on there by a demon-possessed girl who could not stand the Word of God being opened. And she growled, and she tried to rip it. It didn't even rip. It just wrinkled. She could not stand the Word of God because it's powerful and alive, and it was bringing her to face God himself. And she could not stand that when she was possessed of a devil. So love the Word of God. Honor the Word of God. And believe with all your heart, because there are people that will tell you there's mistakes. You can't trust it. There's mistakes. You just listen to the Spirit more. There's mistakes. It isn't preserved for today. But that is not true. Amen. It is the Word of God, and Jesus is the Word of God, and the Word of God is Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is God. Amen. Three in one. The Trinity.